Chapter 8 of Revelation. Listening time is approximately 15 minutes.
In chapter 8, where are we going to go?
We're starting with what?
Can we open the seventh seal?
Can we go back to our thinking a little bit here? In chapter 6, we had how many seals opened?
Six.
So here's the tribulation, middle of the end. Remember in the circle, we've got all the way around to number 6. And now, starting this chapter, brings us into the trumpets. The action picks up again. In other words, it goes right back to where chapter 6 left off. So if you're following it chronologically. You see why, if somebody were to just read Revelation straight through and not know these flash forwards and backs, how confusing it would be trying to figure it out. So the action picks up again with the seventh seal. Verses 1 through 6.
And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast into the earth. And there were voices and the thunderings and lightnings and the earthquake.
What is this all about? What we've had here is a period of silence in heaven between this sixth seal and the seventh seal. About 30 minutes silence, just a pause. So the seventh seal opens the trumpet judgments. What are all these first things talking about? These seven angels, okay, they have now the trumpets, they're going to blow. Who are these angels? What do we know about Revelation 2? There were how many angels? How many churches?
Seven.
I think it's those same seven angels. What is that description there of happening? What's the incense? What's all this about?
Prayers of martyrs.
Okay. Can you elaborate? Prayers of the martyrs. It's also the prayers of the saints. Every time you pray, your prayer is being deposited in heaven. So don't underestimate prayer. Is this a literal thing about incense and an incense burner? Can we figure it out? I don't think we can. It could definitely be a literal thing as well, but it does have a spiritual meaning, doesn't it? It's a representation of all prayers. So God is saying he takes prayers seriously. Prayers become part of the throne, that the prayers actually enter the throne of God. It's a validation of that. And what do they do with this? What happens with this? The incense burner is being filled with fire from the altar. See, altars are sacrificial. So we wouldn't have a literal altar for sacrifice. And what is the altar made of? What were the altars made out of that God instituted? Two types. Out of stones that were not cut by men, so just fine stones to build an altar, or the one in the temple and the one in the tabernacle were made of? Not gold. Bronze. Brass. Bronze is like brass. Anything connecting the blood was always bronze, never gold or silver. So now we know it's a gold altar. So what does that mean? There's no blood sacrifice. So this could be purely symbolic, but it can't be that which we normally think of an altar for sacrifice. And I'm not going to... Our churches should not have altars. There's no sacrifice. Christ was the one and all sacrifice. You might have a table, a kind of a thing that's a little fancy, but you use for communion or something to set the elements on, sure. But not to be worshiping before an altar and things like that. That's idolatry, isn't it? They're taking from that. Let's just generalize it and saying from God, personally from God, and combining with his people. And God is saying, you know what? You are part of me going to fulfill these trumpet wraths. God's people are with him in this. It's joining the two together, isn't it? Can you see that? Through their prayers, because many of these prayers are, God, when are you going to deal with this?
When are you going to deal with all this stuff going on? Your people are being persecuted. When are you going to deal with it? So that's combined, and now what comes out of it? It results in an earthquake, doesn't it? Something's being hurled from heaven to earth, and it creates this. Prayers are actually involved in this unfolding as the trumpet judgments begin. Let's go on with trumpet one then. 1 through 4, let's take a trumpet at a time. 6.
The seventh angel, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
What has been lost? There are some names there, grass and trees and that, but what could you generalize it saying? One third of what has been destroyed?
The earth.
The vegetation of the earth, the plant kingdom. That came in trumpet one. Trumpet two.
And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with the fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood.
Let's take a look at that. What could be a great mountain?
That one that they've been talking about now. What's it in Washington?
Mount St. Helens?
Well, it said the mountain was thrown into the sea. Remember, mountains and hills symbolically refer to kingdoms and nations. Now, is that true with this mountain? No, this would not be that.
It says like a huge Mount Sinai.
Right. It'd be like, if it says Mount Sinai, then we know it's a literal mountain. But if it just says the mountains and hills were under their authority, that meant the kingdom and the nations in that kingdom, like Babylon or something like that. But here it's something that would be like a mountain, which would mean a large rock material. What do we know of those things out in space?
Meters?
Yes. So that could be something like that. I mean, it's only speculation. We really don't know. But we do know that something like that hits, it does cause. Now, what's the blood, the sea and the blood about? It talks about that one time the moon's going to be like turned to blood. It doesn't mean literally.
It's going to be killed, it says.
Right. So usually you think of death if blood is shed. So that's a figurative thing, right, with a certain meaning. And we could just say death. This is going to cause death, and it's how much percent?
A third.
One third again. So now we got one third of the plant kingdom, one third of the sea creatures and such being killed. If a rock site went down in a big area, it would kill whatever is there, right? So we don't really know what that could be, but
could be any mountain anywhere, couldn't it?
Well, I don't think it's a mountain on the earth that's being thrown in. It's coming down through the sky, so I think it could be a meteor. This has happened before.
I don't think that happens till the third angel.
No, but that's a star, the third one.
You think it is?
Well, it says that flaming star.
Okay, we'll get to that one. Well, you may think so. I'm going to propose something different.
The third angel blew, and a great flaming star fell from the heavens upon a third of the rivers and springs. The star was called Bitterness, because it poisoned a third of all the waters on earth, and many people died.
Okay. So now who's being affected by it?
The people.
People,
right? And the poisoning. Why would it be like a star? I know stars are huge, but when you see them, they look small, and they light up. This mountain's not lit. What could look like that?
A bomb?
A missile.
A missile.
Oh, sure, atomic missile. Because the poison would be radiation. I think it's a missile, nuclear missile.
That's going to be sent from God, because the third angel blew the trumpet and this thing happened.
Right, but God does use the things too. Doesn't mean that God has to send the missile. He can get other things to happen. I just think it's a missile because of the star and the poisoning and affecting the people and things. It may not be. I don't know. but something will happen. Just a suggestion. See, I think it's different than the mountain. Next angel.
Third angel.
What does wormwood mean?
Oh, do you remember had the wandering in the desert and they ran out of water and they came to the springs that were bitter water and they got all angry, and what was that was thrown in there? Wormwood. It's kind of a poetic tie to bitterness. There was an actual wood. I think that it was symbolic of spiritual symbolism to it. They had to throw that wood in there, and obviously it was the obedience to doing what God said, but it's a parallel to the concept of bitterness. Mara means bitter, and so on.
It also must be poisonous because they will die. A lot of people will die from the water.
Right. But see, in the Old Testament, it was the opposite. The water was poisonous, and then it was made pure. So now here, it's reversing it. It was pure, and now it's made toxic. And radiation definitely would create toxic water. That's as close as I can get. Next.
The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and immediately a third of the sun was blighted and darkened, and a third of the moon and the stars, so that the daylight was dimmed by a third, and the nighttime darkness deepened. As I watched, I saw a solitary eagle flying through the heavens, crying loudly, "Woe, woe, woe to the people of the earth because of the terrible things that will soon happen when the three remaining angels blow their trumpets."
What does woe mean? Or terror. Those are the three woes I'm talking about. Things are going to get worse. So we're going to go into three of those. All right, what happened here then? Well, what do you suppose is happening, though, with this third of the moon, third of the stars are struck?
The light's dimming even further.
The whole light on the earth is dimming. It's darker.
But nothing actually was done here, is it?
No.
What? What did the trumpet do? It said that...
Yeah.
I believe there will be a lot of nuclear exchange, and what happens with nuclear fallout? What happened when volcanoes erupt and stuff?
Everything
burns. It's dark.
Yeah, it puts a lot of debris up in the sky, and so it will block the sun and the moon. If it's reddish stuff, it'll look reddish. And so, in other words, the visibility will be cut way down, and we know that happens from nuclear. I think this is showing more nuclear involvement and kind of an all-out nuclear situation going up. Very, very possible.
Paul?
Yes?
You know, while I was reading all this, you know, it was always on my mind, we believe that to become a Christian, you have a free will, right?
Yeah.
Well, when I read all these woes and all this punishment, I say to myself, it's more like if you're not willing, I'm using force. Because, you know, this doesn't sound like free will.
Well, you still have a free will, and a lot of people will shake their fists at God. But things have gotten so bad, and God's time is about running out. He's giving people a last chance. That's what it is.
You know, during this time, there will be some believers who will go through suffering. Some, they're sealed to be sure. But, you know, like now, when we're a Christian, we still suffer. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, we still suffer. So, I still have a problem with this free will thing. You know, it seems not a free will.
But I think the amazing thing about this, regardless of where you are in the world, you can read this and there's things in their area that fits the same way that it could happen in that location, or it could happen that location, anywhere, but it would fit.
Except this is a worldwide tribulation. There have been local things, but but this is worldwide, just like the Noah's flood was worldwide.
It could be, but it always, the local is what affects.
True, but this will be a worldwide effect.
One third, yes, but there's still two thirds left, so it's not all the
exactly.
There's still a lot left, whether it's people or elements in the world.
Some regions will be hit harder than others. That's a good thing to point out. We've still got two thirds. Well, you can imagine people during World War II living in Europe.
they felt that it was the tribulation. World War I and both World War II, people thought that this was definitely going to be the end. And for many of them, it was the end.